Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
On Point is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. President Bush says, don't do it. So does Los Angeles Cardinal Mahoney. But in cities and towns across America today, immigrants, undocumented workers, businesses, and supporters are making up their own minds about whether to stay home, shut down, skip school, and take to the streets. Immigrant advocates are divided on what the California State Senate has lauded as the Great American Boycott 2006. Some say it's time to flex immigrant muscle in a reprise of the 1960s civil rights movement. Others say it's time for steady as she goes, that new immigrant rights are coming, and the whole country's watching. Up next on Point, we go inside the great immigrant mobilization of 2006. But first, we begin in Los Angeles. Carrie Kahn is a reporter for NPR covering immigration. She'll be following the protests all day. Carrie, just getting started there. Thanks for joining us. What do you see so far?
Well, I've been looking at the television pictures of downtown Los Angeles, which is pretty much a ghost town in some of the major areas where people get going this early in the morning. The produce market, which sells produce, wholesale produce to thousands of restaurants around the area here, and it's pretty much a ghost town. There's a couple big, huge produce wholesalers down there. A lot of workers have not shown up this morning. Saw a lot of pictures of the Flower Mart, too. Same situation down there. And people are waiting to see what happens at the huge port of Los Angeles, Long Beach Complex, see if truck drivers show up to work this morning.
Now, by the time some of our affiliates hear this show this evening, a lot more will have been seen. But the planning has been very strong there, even with support from the California state legislature saying, yes, Great American Boycott, let's go.
Right. They did pass a resolution, non-binding, of course, that was in support of it. It was straight down party lines. All the Republicans in the Senate were against it. But the California Senate has changed radically over the last few years, where it's a lot of Latino immigrants and Latino lawmakers who support, their constituents support this boycott and support the rallies and marches that are happening today.
Now, L.A. County, of course, a foreign-born population there, according to some 2,000 figures, more than a third foreign-born in L.A. County.
Right.
Informal workers, many undocumented, may account for 15% of the county labor force. By some estimates, these are very big numbers, maybe some of the biggest, obviously, in the country. Is this supposed to be the heart of the matter today? We're reading 40 states and maybe hundreds of cities and towns around the country where this is going on. What do you know?
Well, you know, at the March 25th rally, where we saw a lot of the huge protests, Los Angeles, there were 500,000 people came downtown L.A. I think authorities are bracing for even larger numbers today. And a lot of that is because initially, a lot of the information that was coming about this organizing, decentralized organizing, there is no leaders in this movement. It was mostly on Spanish language advertising, radio, TV, newspapers.
Right.
So that's where you got the constituents coming. Now, there's been a lot more coalitions formed, a lot more groups have joined in, churches, labor unions, so there's a lot more diffusion of information. So I think people are really bracing for a lot more participation, not just illegal immigrants, but supporters, people that are citizens who had been permanent residents, supporters of illegal immigrants, especially the labor unions, churches. We're going to see a lot of people out in the streets today. We've already seen road closures and alternate mass transit routes, and a lot of businesses along a lot of there's two main rallies that are going to be held downtown, and they're planning on major disruptions.
Now, those two rallies, fairly illustrative at the same time of the sort of split screen here today. You've got the folks calling for a full boycott, don't shop, don't go to school, don't go to work. Others saying, no, this is a good day to think about immigration, talk about it, even go to the streets, but do it after school, after work, and don't go for the boycott, including Los Angeles Cardinal Roger Mahoney, who's been a big advocate of the immigrant push here. But he was saying, let's not shut down the city. Let's not boycott.
Right. He's on the side with the labor unions and a lot of the grassroots organizations here, more of the mainstream immigration rights groups here. They are urging their fear of backlash. They're urging people not to boycott, to stay in school. And that rally is taking place between 4 and 6 in downtown L.A., scheduled purposely when people hopefully get off work, they say, so that they can participate. As you said, the major leaders of the boycott, their rally begins at noon, and they're hoping that people don't show up for work and that students don't go to school. The mayor was out yesterday himself, a Mexican immigrant here to Los Angeles, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. He was urging students to stay in school and urging people to participate if they wanted to in the rally that would be in the afternoon.
Carrie, as you well know, the verdict is still way out on what Congress is going to do here. There's everything from the Sensenbrenner push in the House, which is quite tough, to much more liberal-oriented reform in the Senate. What's the sense among the Latino community, in the Latino community in L.A.? Do they think they're on a roll, that it's going to break their way here? Are they confident, or they feel like they're fighting, they got to push this over the hump?
Well, you just have a divergent of opinions here. You hit it on the head when you were talking about the rallies. There's two different rallies, so there's two different streams of thought here, that if they push, maybe they can convince Congress to, along with tighter enforcement, to also include a path toward citizenship, to do something about the estimated 12 million people that are here. But it we'll have to see what happens there. There has been a push that maybe the Sensenbrenner bill, that was just so enforcement based, maybe went over the top and was pushing a lot of people into the streets, and it was a unifying call when you talk about making illegal immigrants into felons. That seemed to bring everybody under one rallying cry. But as that has sort of, the Senate definitely backed away from that, it's going to be difficult, I think, to sustain this movement. What is the general rallying cry? You have people that are saying we need total open borders. Whoever wants to come in, come in. Mm. Then you have people on the other side saying we need to, you know, strengthen the border, yet also provide a path for the illegal immigrants that are here. So, as you said in the outset, there's a divergence of thoughts, and so we'll just have to see how it all plays out and whether these mass rallies push people over the top or convince them to go on their side.
Well, a mountain of energy around it today. Carrie Kahn with NPR in Los Angeles. Thanks very much for being with us, Carrie.
You're welcome.
Joining me now from Los Angeles is Nativo Lopez, president of the Mexican-American Political Association, executive director of the immigrant advocacy group Hermandad Mexicana Nacional. He's a lead organizer of the March 25 coalition of Latino groups, organizations backing what they call the Great American Boycott. Mr. Lopez, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
We're hearing it both ways. Some people saying boycott, others saying rally, make your voice heard, but do not boycott. Why are you pushing for the full boycott, Mr. Lopez?
Because we have nothing on the table. We haven't won anything. I mean, we've had many marches throughout the country. Your previous speaker talked about Sensenbrenner essentially being dead, but that's not necessarily the case. Sensenbrenner can resurface under a different name, different versions. We saw that before. Congress went into recess, what was called the Hagel-Martinez compromise between the Democrats and the Republican, that had many Sensenbrenner-type versions or measures in it. And so we believe it's important that the voice of the immigrant be paramount in the national debate. It has to be imposed from the bottom because it's being ignored, and that the option that the immigrant is putting forth should be the primary option, and that is full and unconditional legalization of all the 12 million currently here in the United States. No guest worker programs, no onerous employer sanction programs, and no border wall.
So what are you hoping to see as a demonstration of support for that wide open position today, Nativo Lopez? What are you hoping to see in L.A. and around the country?
Well, we're hoping to see send a message basically to America, send a message to Congress that the immigrants play a tremendous positive and productive role in our economy by observing their absence in the workplace and schools and consumption and instead in the streets exercising their right to petition government, their right to be legitimized, their right to be legalized because of the tremendous contributions they've made to this country. There's no reason in the world why they should be in a protracted caste legalization type program that would force them to wait an additional 5 to 10 years, because most undocumented individuals that are here have been here for an average 5 years, and therefore they've made tremendous contributions already to our economy.
Do you think you can force, or that immigrants can force, this view on Congress or sort of on American politics at large, you know, by boycotting? Is that the idea, to flex economic power to insist, or are you simply trying to raise it to a higher level of awareness? What's your goal politically?
The latter. You know, we're attempting to raise it to a higher level of understanding. Let's call it, it's an inoculation, if you will, a vaccination for America. We know that prior to you obtaining a vaccination, there's always an anxiety. You feel it's inconvenient, just thinking that needle is going to touch your skin. But once it does, you know, the anxiety dissipates. Later you feel better. The vaccination is for you to become healthy, and that's essentially what we seek to do.
So a vaccination.
To make America healthier.
I want to welcome another voice into our conversation from Washington, D.C. Jaime Contreras is with us. He's president of the National Capital Immigration Coalition. That's an organization of immigrant, labor, faith, civil rights, and business community groups in the D.C. area. They have opposed the boycott spin on today's turnout. Jaime Contreras, thanks for being with us.
Good morning. How you doing?
We're great. Nativo Lopez says you've got to, you know, raise the voice high and loud here with a boycott to shake things up. You say no. Why?
Well, we believe that there is a time. First of all, no one is opposed to the idea of a boycott or the idea of a general strike. There's a tool that's available for us to use. The difference is the timing. We believe that we have made significant gains in the whole debate. You know, hey, before this wonderful, beautiful, and peaceful activities that we've been doing in the last couple of months, less than 50% of the general American public supported comprehensive immigration reform. Now we have more than 77% of the American public supporting, and this is according to a CNN poll. We also, you know, Dennis Hastert and Bill Frist, people like that, are backing off their position of criminalizing undocumented people. So this is a process in the making. So we can't jump ahead and you know, do something that, you know, may even jeopardize what we've gained so far.
Nativo Lopez, I'm looking here just off the wires. Pat Buchanan saying today that the boycott is a massive act of extortion, that it's going to bring out a tremendous backlash among the American people. Even New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, Hispanic himself, says he's worried that boycotts will hurt the efforts to change the nation's immigration laws. Are you worried about a backlash, Mr. Lopez?
Well, I mean, we heard those types of things before over history when these types of tactics have been employed. Not everybody supported Dr. Martin Luther King when he employed these tactics. Not everybody supported Cesar Chavez when he employed these tactics. So it's something that we expected, but this is a demand that arose from the ranks amongst the immigrants themselves that very adamantly wanted to make a statement that it's important for America to appreciate their contributions to America and that their voice be heard, fearful that a compromise would be in the work between the Democrats and the Republicans, not truly beneficial or favorable to the immigrants in totality.
What do you really want? If this is equivalent to the civil rights movement, and you're framing it that way with Cesar Chavez and Martin Luther King, are you satisfied with the kind of reform President Bush is pushing for? I guess you're not. You're saying no guest worker program, just what? Open the border and let anybody come? Or what exactly, Mr. Lopez?
Yeah, basically what we want is what the immigrants themselves have articulated time and time again. They've been here on an average 5 years already. They've made tremendous contributions to our economy. We're looking for full unconditional legalization of the population that's currently here. There's precedent for that. That happened in 1986. It went very well. These individuals were integrated into our system. Many of them became citizens, voters, contributing members of society. So we're looking to do the same this time around. On the other hand, we don't think that it's proper that our country create guest worker type programs where workers are treated less than first class citizens. We don't need a stratified, codified, second tier working class that doesn't enjoy full federal protections,
right,
federal laws or state and wage and hour standards.
And what about at the border? Your Governor Schwarzenegger said, let's treat people who are in the country with respect, but let's make the border very secure. There's a cry to put a fence up, or even a wall all along this long border. What about that?
We oppose border walls of this character. It doesn't exist on our northern border. It doesn't exist on the eastern seaboard. Why should we permit it on the southern border with Mexico? If you
some would say because Canada is affluent and Mexico is poor, you don't have the same pressure in from Canada.
Well, then what we need to do is create a true, fair trade agreement with Mexico, bring up the standard of living in Mexico, create jobs that people can truly live by, stay in Mexico, stay in El Salvador and other countries, and therefore not be forced to come to the United States. We know that the North American Free Trade Agreement did not work for Mexico, but it did work for the United States. We are subsidizing, you and I, corporate agribusiness that ruined over 3 million small farmers in Mexico that are forced to come to the United States because there's a demand for their labor.
Jaime Contreras, what about the position that Nativo Lopez is pushing for here and others in league with him, saying, you know, full unconditional legalization of illegal immigrants who are here and no crackdown at the border, please? Is that your position?
Yes. I mean, let me just make one thing very clear. On the goals that Mr. Nativo Lopez is pushing for and the National Capital Immigration Coalition is pushing for, we're all united. We all want to stop Censo Brenner. We all want to achieve real comprehensive immigration reform. There's no division there. You can rest assured. It's all about what makes sense to do when. And I think that's where there's a little bit of a confusion or disagreement, whatever you want to call it. And the problem with that is that we, you know, for the longest time, this is an organic, beautiful movement that has started. So right now we have no structure nationally to figure out how do we not, you know, create this confusion or this division in the future. And that's part of the issues we're going to be looking at as we move past May 1st to see how we can be more coordinated. And you can rest assured when we are coordinated from east to west that this is not going to be just, you know, there's not going to be division and there's not going to be a question that we are going to achieve real comprehensive immigration reform.
What about Pat Buchanan? Yes, Mr. Lopez.
Yes, I want to reiterate what Jaime Contreras just said. We are absolutely united in our goal. And perhaps it could be perceived that the call for the boycott was too early. We are concerned that there is not unanimity of views on this throughout the country, and we are going to work extremely hard after May 1st to put ourselves together and work closely with all the other national and regional coalitions so that we're on the same page. In the future, we still may not agree with the use of this or that tactic, but one thing for sure, we're going to be in close communication, working together to obtain our goals.
Let's hear from our listeners. Lillian's calling from Exeter, New Hampshire. Hi, Lillian. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Well, I very strongly am against this protest that they're holding today. I feel that illegal immigrants have no rights. Now, our government, for years, we've been telling them that thousands and thousands of people are coming over the border illegally, and they did somewhat to try and stop it, but it was ineffective. So now we have millions and millions of illegal immigrants here, and now they feel they have the right to protest and a right to stay here. My grandparents and my parents came from Europe, and they went through the proper channels. I mean, I was told that if you wanted to go live in Mexico, you had to learn to speak the Spanish language.
Lillian, do Americans have some obligation here? I mean, people eat the inexpensive vegetables that are picked by many of these immigrants. They're packing the meat, not today because those meat packers are closed, but there is a lot of work that gets done. Does that create some obligation or not?
Well, if they weren't here, who would be doing it?
Well, I'm not sure, but let's put your view to Jaime Contreras. Jaime, Lillian says illegal immigrants have no rights, should have no rights. Her ancestors waited in line legally. What about yours?
Right. The problem that we have now is that if you are from England, from almost any part of Europe, you can just basically come to the United States without a problem, without having to, you know, cross the border undocumented or anything of that nature. The problem
well, it's not that,
we that
easy to get citizenship here. I mean, there's a long process, right?
Right, right. And that is a process that we are willing to stick by. The problem that we have is that it's this. There's a high demand for immigrant labor. So employers need workers. workers need jobs, and the current immigration system is inadequate. It's, you know, there's a supply and demand issue. So now the solution that our wonderful government is going after is, okay, let's go after workers and let's go after employers, when in reality you have to fix the current immigration system. You fix that by legalizing the current workers who are already here undocumented, giving them the opportunity. Okay, if you pay your taxes, if you pay a fine, if you learn English, and if you don't break the law, then you should be given the opportunity. That is only the American way. Any other way will be un-American. I mean, people in this country, once you step foot in this land, you have the same, you have rights just as you and I do. So you have, you know, workers who need work, and you have employers who need jobs. So why are we going after the workers? Why are we going after the employers instead of fixing the current immigration system?
I guess in Lillian's book, people don't have those rights, but we hear that you see it that way. I want to get another perspective here from Washington. We're joined by Leo Anchondo, director of the National Catholic Bishops Campaign, Justice for Immigrants. Mr. Anchondo, thanks for joining us.
Tom, thanks for having me.
Catholic Church has been very upfront in supporting immigrants and immigrant rights here, but has not supported the boycott today, as I understand it. Is that correct, or is that just Cardinal Mahoney in Los Angeles? Is there a national view on the boycott?
Well, we view it as a personal decision. Some people might decline to go to work today. Some people might choose to boycott consuming goods and services. It's truly a personal decision. What the bishops have decided to do is to provide immigrant communities and those of like minds to have another option if they don't necessarily agree with the boycott and the activities that are planned for today. So bishops have suggested to their pastors around the country to, for example, to ring the bells today at 6 o'clock, so you will have all of the Catholic parishes ring in their bells at 6 o'clock today. That will be followed, actually, by a number of different prayer services that would enable people that want to show their support for the need to fix our broken immigration system, but to do it by sending a message of unity, a message of solidarity.
So you, with or without a boycott, you're looking for a demonstration today. What's your sense of the political dynamic here, Leo Anchondo? You're director of this national bishops campaign. You must be following the politics very closely. Do you think this might backfire on immigrant advocates? Pat Buchanan says this is massive extortion. Even New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson says this could be a distraction from immigration reform.
Well, we believe that any opportunity to showcase the need to fix our broken immigration system, whether this is done by means of marching outside the steps of the U.S. Capitol or having gatherings around the country, that can certainly provide not only the immigrant communities, but more importantly, the non-immigrant communities with an educational process, with an educational opportunity to truly learn the realities of migrants in our country. You know, for too long, we've been exposed to a number of different myths and stereotypes about immigrants that are nothing but stereotypes and myths.
So you're not worried about a backlash?
Well, as I mentioned, we believe that any activity that is taking place today and in the past weeks serves as an excellent opportunity to educate the community at large about the realities of immigrants in our country.
Let's take a call from Laurel, Maryland. Greg is on the line. Hi, Greg. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I guess I'm a little confused as to why we're even having this debate, because it seems that there are existing laws that allow immigrants to come in and work in the United States on a temporary basis. I mean, when in fact I work downtown, and we have a lot of people who have come from India and Pakistan and stuff like that,
right,
who are here temporarily and some of which have applied for citizenship.
But you can't be that confused, Greg. I mean, you know that on the big farms in California and the meatpacking plants and all kinds of businesses across the country, that system is not working for the people who actually get employed, many from Mexico.
Okay.
So what, do we ignore it or do we address it? Do you think this boycott is a way to push it, productively on the national agenda, or do you just want to deny there's a problem?
Well, no, I don't want to deny that there's a problem. I feel as though, if we can improve the existing laws mm-hmm. to bring people into this country to work on a temporary basis, then we should do that.
Mr. Lopez, Natibo Lopez says legalize everybody who's here unconditionally and acknowledge the facts of life in the U.S. today. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, doesn't blanket legalization of everybody who's currently in the United States illegally, isn't that unfair to the existing people who have applied for citizenship through the proper channels?
That argument gets made pretty strongly. Let's put it to Natibo Lopez. Mr. Lopez, what do you say to that?
Yeah, that's a very good argument, and your previous caller talked about going through the existing channels. The channels change all the time. One of the other things that we're talking about is expediting family reunification, extending visas where we know that there is a strong current of entrance and petitions that exist, like the Dominican Republic, the Philippines, Mexico, et cetera, and use from countries where there doesn't exist a demand, reallocate those visas where there exists a high demand, and therefore you wouldn't have a backlog, and we would eliminate this argument about going through the channels, going to the back of the line, et cetera.
So you take the 11.5 or 12 million undocumented, make them legal, and then make it easier for their families to come as well. I mean, how many more millions would that mean?
Well, I think that really depends on the basic law of capitalism, supply and demand. That's what we're talking about here, unless you're talking about eliminating capitalism, because where there's a high demand for their labor and there's an available supply, they will come to the marketplace.
Leo Anchondo, I know we've just got you for another minute here. Where do you think that Congress is going on this? You must be watching very closely. Congressmen will be watching all these demonstrations today and watching the public's response. Is this headed toward reform or is this headed toward gridlock? How do you see it?
Well, you know, as a nation, we can no longer afford to continue to have the status quo. We hope and we pray that Senate will take the necessary step forwards to take us to a truly comprehensive immigration reform that would, for once and for all, solve this very, very urgent crisis that as Americans we all face. We certainly believe that we don't need to have any more immigrants die in their effort to come across the border. We need to get smarter. We need to legislate in a way that we include every single aspect of the debate and reform our broken immigration system into a very comprehensive way of dealing with not only the current situation, but also with future flows of immigrants coming to our country.
The voice of the Catholic Church there saying, make up your own mind about what you do today. Leo Anchondo, director of the National Catholic Bishops Campaign Justice for Immigrants. Mr. Anchondo, thanks a lot for being with us.
Thank you.
Right now, Carmelis is calling from Malden, Massachusetts. Hi, Carmelis, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, great show.
What do you think, Carmelis? What do you see?
First, I thought that something needs to be done about the border. And second, I thought the boycott, it's a way, I mean, to keep the momentum. I mean, and third, I mean, when you look at it, both sides, the Congress, both sides, Republican, Democrats, they playing game with the issue. I mean, when you look at it, Bill Free saying, well, he's going to touch the issue until, like, 29th May. I mean, when you put it this way, you can see that, I mean, they playing game.
Carmelis, are you boycotting today, whatever that might mean for you?
Well, in one way, yes. I'm at work right now, but I'm not going to buy anything because I support it. Because if there's 11 million people, I mean, working from Eastern Europe, the debate would be totally different. Make no mistake about it. Because some people try to, you know, put it this way, like, you know, it's national security. That's not what it is. First of all, 20 of those hijackers, none of them came from the Latino. None of them come from the Caribbean.
So you say if it was 20 million or 11 million Europeans, it'd be a different story. So viva the boycott. Carmelis, we've got it. I want to get another call here, if I may, from Gardner, Massachusetts. Ed is on the line. Hi, Ed. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Very well. What do you think, Ed?
I think I support the legalization, the blanket legalization. I'm third-generation Italian.
Okay.
And, you know, I work in hotels.
Yeah.
And I've worked side-by-side with illegals, you know, working 24-hour shifts, while these hotel owners are making millions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have the legal right to complain because, you know, I'm American.
Right.
But they don't, okay? If they complain, they're out the door. Okay?
Yeah.
So, for these business owners to be squawking about anything. It's they're squawking about their wallet is what they're squawking about. And, you know, they haven't done what the immigrants have done coming in. They probably haven't. And they
Ed, but what about Americans who may not be business owners who simply say, yes, we're sympathetic, and the polls do show that. I mean, look, Wall Street Journal, NBC says 61% favor allowing the 11 million already here to stay. If they pay taxes, if they pass background checks, just 35% want to deport them. But what about Americans who say, you know, we have to have some system here. These blanket legalizations mean more and more millions, and it's just there's no system to this.
Well, whose system, though? Whose system? Mm-hmm. Wall Street system?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the point. Whose system, okay? The system that's going to favor Wall Street so, you know, they can make their millions and they can go home at 5 o'clock and they can have their grandchildren at their knees, okay, and get their Ivy League education.
Yeah,
right?
We got it. So third-generation Italian immigrant says put the gangplank down for these folks too, and we hear it, Ed. I want to bring another voice from Washington. John O'Sullivan joins us. He's a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, editor-at-large at the Conservative National Review. Mr. O'Sullivan, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be there.
You've had a pretty tough attitude toward immigration. What do you make of this whole swirl of activity today and the kind of cries you're hearing for blanket liberalization?
Well, let me say first that the last caller is under a great delusion if he thinks businesses are against legalization. The big business, Wall Street, is passionately in favor and is spending billions to try to convince ordinary Americans to admit to have a guest worker program, to admit to give an amnesty to the 12 million people illegals already here, and in general to open the borders. And there's a good reason for that, that the arrival of more immigrants, actually illegal or legal, tends to mean that the labor market is excellent. They can offer lower wages, and they can get more people to work at those lower wages. The effect of that on the poor in America is disastrous. In fact, if we're going to talk about compassion, it's got to be extended, it seems to me, first of all, by Americans to fellow Americans.
Mr. O'Sullivan, may I ask you, are you an immigrant yourself?
I am indeed.
Are you an American citizen?
I'm not.
Are you looking forward to citizenship or not? Are you what's your status? I mean, it's all about status today.
I'm a resident alien. I'm married to an American.
Right.
I'm here legally.
Right.
And I'm a commentator on this issue because I think it's an important, interesting issue, and there are lots of aspects to it. If you're telling me that my opinions ought to be dependent upon my residential status or any other status, I think you would not put that question to someone who was arguing the illegal immigrant case.
No, actually not putting it that way. It's just that it's all about status today, and we've got millions of people in the streets talking about their own status. So I was just curious the vantage that you bring to it. What about the message from Natibo Lopez? He's saying, look, we're here, we're working, you can't treat us like a second-tier subservient class forever. There's no principle that you can see behind that.
Mr. Lopez rather said something very important.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm correct, it was he who said this about 5 minutes ago. He said that he basically wanted to structure the system so that the backlog of people would come in and they would cut back on visas for those places for which there are fewer applicants.
Less demand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, why does he argue that? It's very interesting. Immigration is future immigration tends to be the continuation of past immigration. In other words, if you have a lot of people who recently come in from country A, then there'll be more people wanting to come in from country A because their friends and relatives and family are in the country, and
mm-hmm.
they will be inviting them over. Now, that effectively tends to bias the immigration intake on, if it's family reunification, and a chain migration line, which tends to produce more people from those other countries.
Is there a problem with that?
It's an artificial thing. In other words, mm-hmm. it's not that naturally there are more people who want to come in from the Dominican Republic rather than, let us say, Latvia. It's simply that they know more about it, they've got the contacts and connections, and they've been encouraged to apply. So, in effect, his argument is he really wants people to come from the Caribbean and from Latin America, and he wants to exclude people from other parts of the world. That's the practical effect of what he's arguing, although he's not putting it in quite those terms.
Natibo Lopez, in L.A., first of all, John O'Sullivan says what you're proposing will mean lower wages and a tougher time for America's poor.
No, well, you know, that's one of the reasons why we very vigorously argue for protected status. Anybody that's in the country should be protected by our federal and state laws. Certainly they should be protected in their right to organize in the workplace, a union, so that wages are stabilized. They're not depressed against native-born workers, and that's extremely important that all workers' right to organize the union is protected, be they immigrant, native-born, undocumented, legal resident, etc. But in relationship to the imbalance that exists in the allocation of visas, where some countries would use them and other countries do not use them.
John O'Sullivan says you want to see a more Latino United States.
No, on the contrary, what we need to do is look at where there are patterns of immigration to the United States to address the labor needs, the demand that exists in our country, and reallocate those visas accordingly with temporary visas to those workers protected under federal and state laws. For example, Ireland. There was a law some 10 years ago specifically targeted to the Irish to allow them to more easily immigrate to the United States. It was a specific country law that was passed in Congress to permit that. But now what we see is because the economy in Ireland has gone up, immigrants from Ireland are actually returning to Ireland, and they're not using their allocated visas. So let's reallocate those to countries that are using them in addressing the labor demands in the United States.
So swing it down to Mexico, you say. Let's get one more call here. Dominique from Canton, New York. Hi, Dominique. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're well. What do you see?
Well, I just wanted to comment on some earlier things. The percentage of Americans that support the boycott and or at least the legalization across
yes.
the board. I think that the boycott is absolutely necessary. I agree with Mr. Lopez here. I think that in the past decade, you know, all the polling and everything that's gone on with the Iraq War and everything else kind of illustrates our government's absence to listen to the American people, and I think that right now is the perfect time to boycott. I think we need to start dealing with our government with a heavier hand.
So raise the hand and into the street, you say. John O'Sullivan, what about the likely political impact of today's turnout? How do you read it?
Well, I think it's actually obstructing the comprehensive legislation and reform that the amnesty bill and the guest workers bill that the marchers are marching for. But I also would make the point that all experience of the last 30 years on immigration shows that if you actually create an amnesty and you legalize workers, this does not substitute for illegal workers. It actually creates a magnet for them, because the fact is people will still want to offer jobs at lower wages. There'll still be a group of people who are willing to come into the country and undercut workers, whether those workers are native-born Americans or legalized, formerly illegal immigrants.
Legalized or not. Jaime Contreras, we just got a few seconds here. Do you think today everything that's going on pushes the country closer to a solution or further from it?
Well, my hope is that whatever happens today, the politicians are paying attention, because this is a very touchy issue and very emotional in our community. Our community is ready to do whatever it takes for them to be heard. Hey, you know, we come here and we make America stronger. I mean, in 1988, at the age of 13, came here undocumented. I worked as a janitor. I went to school. I served in the United States Navy. So you can't tell me that I come here and be a burden to this country, because that's not the truth. The problem is there is not enough visas for people to be able to come here for future flows and do the unskilled labor
and
that
today the
that
request
don't
is
do.
Make them available, open that border. Now, Jaime Contreras in Washington and Natiba Lopez in L.A., John O'Sullivan at the National Review in Washington, I want to thank all of you for being with us. Thanks very much for
thank
your
you.
Views on the boycott and all today.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point.